Masechet Peah, Perek Hei, Mishnah Vav. Hamocher et Sadeh, Hamocher Mutar, Halokeach Asur. So remember that we learned out, and we haven't gotten there yet, but we're going to get there later on in Masechet Chulin, that we darshan le'ani, instead of darshan to be le'ani v'lager ta'azov, we darshan the le'ani means these mitzvahs are chal on the ani himself. From there we learn that the ani himself is not allowed to take any of the matanis, and this is whether it is satcha or whether it's kitzircha. Either one of those are le'ani, he's mechuyev to be ozev and not to take it to himself. So therefore, if you own either the actual field or the katsira of the field, and sometimes you may have purchased the harvest, even though you're an ani, you have to give away the matones aniim to somebody else and not keep it yourself. And therefore, if you sold the actual field, now you don't own it. And even though you raised it, but you can turn around right now and take those matanis. Because as long as it's not in your rishus, you are considered to be an ani like anybody else. And at this point, it's not yours. So if you don't have any use in it, then it's not going to be usher to you. The raya to this, and that the din is not a function of who owned it at the time that it raised, the raya to this is the fact that if you are mafkir your sadeh, you don't have to take off the miser from it, right? And it's putter from miser. Why? Since you were the owner, what good is it going to do to be mafkir it if you were the owner when it was actually raised? You see from there that it's a function of who the owner is now, not who the owner was at the time. So that's clear from that halacha, and therefore the buyer, even though he wasn't the one who raised it, but now it is Kitsiro, even though it wasn't Sado at the time, and therefore the buyer, if he's an ani, he cannot actually be zocha to any of the matanis aniim. Now, what people used to do very unfairly is to be socher, as we'll see, po'alim, with the right for special rights of legita. That is stealing. You cannot hire somebody to work in your field at a lower rate and say, listen, part of your salary will be the fact that you can bring your kids and they can collect as much as they want from the matanais. If you do that, then you are stealing from the aniim, because you cannot pay the salary that you own from peros that belong to aniim. And what it usually causes is also for the person that you hired to be stealing from you. Because since he knows that his kids are getting the food, he manages to drop a little bit extra, you know, which he had no right to drop. And he makes more leket or more shikha than he really would have been, and that would be stealing. So all around, this is a terrible thing to do. And you can't, therefore, be socheret. And if in any way you get in the way of allowing the aniim in general to collect, then you are stealing. Or you select who it is that you're going to let in to your field to be located. Or he helps in any way. He helps one of these guys out, then he's stealing from the other aniim. And that would be gozel aniim. And that's why it says, al taseg gevul olim. Now, what exactly al taseg gevul olim means is a little bit unclear. What are these olim and what pasuk are we referring to? Because there is no such pasuk. So, there are two psukim that are very similar, which are psukim in Mishle, where it says, al taseg gvul olam. It does say olam. Okay, so this is apparently a drasha that we're making, that al tikri olam, ela olim. What is this referring to? Therefore, so there's a machlokes. And some say actually one pasuk means one, and the other pasuk means the other. And what we're referring to is the Olim, meaning the Olim Mimitzrayim. And those Olim Mimitzrayim, they were given these mitzvahs. They were very poor. And they were the ones who were mekabel the mitzvahs, the chatchila. And therefore, we always talk about leket, shikhu, peas, the earliest mitzvahs. We have a ger who's mizgayer. We tell them those mitzvahs specifically. And so it means don't do something that goes against the ones who were mamish coming up, olim, from Eretz Mitzrayim, as aniyim themselves, and they were the ones that should be the most makpid on leket shikhu peah. But others learn gvul olim is actually a euphemism. And that is actually the way the Yerushalmi explains it. So the people that are on the top of the heap, the olim, the jet setters, those are actually the way we refer to the aniyim. And don't take away the things that belong to the jet setters, meaning that belong to the aniyim. So we speak about it, Beloshen Sagi Nohar. And Vamaisa, there are two different contexts to the pasuk, because the first pasuk is the Gvul Olim, is Gvul Olam Asher Asu Avotecha, and the second one continues on to say Gvul Olim Ubiste Yetomim Al Tavo. So there is obviously two different contexts over here. So one of them is referring to the poor, B'stei Yetomim, and the other one, Asher Asu Avotecha, seems to be referring to those who were Olim in Mitzrayim. So actually, both Pirushim are very usable. That's how the Tosfos Yontif explains the two. Peya, Perek, He, Mishnah, Zion. So the rest of the Mesechet over here is actually not talking about Leket like we were talking until now. As we pointed out, the Rambam understood even that earlier Mishnah that seems to be referring to Sheikha was really referring to Leket. And now we are moving on to Sheikha. So, okay, Sheikha, of course, is a completely different halacha. And it says, you can't go back, ki tiktzor kitzircha b'sadecha, v'shachachta omer b'sadeh. So we have over here the idea of it being your sada, your ketzira, and you forget an omer, which is a sheaf, and you didn't take it out of the field to bring it into the barn. That's the simple meaning of the omer. But now the question is, what about if it was never actually cut l'chatchila? So it says, lo tashuv l'kachto, don't go back to take it. So if you've already finished an area, and in order to bring it out or to harvest it, you'd have to go back to the same area of the field that was already processed. So that would be considered to be shikha, and you're not allowed to go back. Now there's two and possibly three, as I'll explain in a moment, the sheet of the way the Rambam paskins. There's two or three different issues that might make something shikha. The pashtus is, you have an owner, and he is processing his own field, and essentially, it was ki tiktzor kitzircha b'sadecha, and he forgot it, so he can't go back. But how about if he's not doing the kitzira himself? It's not kitzircha b'sadecha. Instead, he hires itinerant workers to do the kitzira, and he may not even be present while they are doing it. He knows what needs to be harvested, and he gave them a list of exactly what it was that they are supposed to be collecting from the field, and they leave some of it behind. Now, can they create shikha despite the fact that he is aware of what's in the field and he gave them specific orders to take it down? Is that called going back, or did they just not do their job? Says the Mishnah, if the omer was forgotten by the workers that he had hired, but the balabayit was fully aware of that piece still being there and requiring harvesting, and lo shechacho ba'alabayit, or vice versa. Suppose shechacho ha'balabayit, v'lo shechachu po'alim. In either of these cases, it's not considered to be shikha, and it has to be shechuach by both the actual person who's doing the work in the field and the owner. But if only one of them forgets it, so then it's not considered to be shikha until the second one also would forget it. But if one of them hasn't, if neither of them has forgotten it, so it won't help for the other one to forget it later. But if one of them has forgotten it, and the fact that the other one remembers is just keeping it from becoming halachic l'shikcha, the moment that he then forgets it, it now is shikcha l'mafreya, you see? But if neither of them has forgotten it, then ex post facto shikcha is not called shikcha. It has to be ki tiktzor ketzircha besadecha. So there's an interesting sort of semi-shikcha state in which something is shachuach, but it hasn't been completed at shikcha. Then you could complete the shikcha, even not present and just forgetting it later. But there's another incredible shita over here. And let's take a look how that, unbelievably, and that the Rambam actually paskins like this, is that if there's anyone at all that is aware of it, then it's not considered to be shikha. It has to be literally forgotten. So let's say, and that's actually the way that the Rambam explains it, if there's somebody that's looking in from the outside at your field, and he says, hey, those guys left that sheaf standing over there. Hey, guys, hey! They don't hear him, and they walk away. The fact that he knows is enough to make it not shikha. And this, the Rambam actually paskins, if anybody is aware of it, then it's not considered to be shikha. Let's say that the aniyim are smart aleks. So what do? They get a couple of guys together who stand in front of this sheaf so that the workers won't notice it, hoping that it'll be forgotten. And then when they want to come and bring it, say, oh, you're not allowed to go back. That was already shikha. That's ours. So if that happened, amdu aniyim bifanav, if aniyim stood there in order to hide it from the workers or the owner, oh, shechifu vakash, maybe they threw some straw over it so that it wouldn't be noticeable, then by definition, hare ze ina shikha, that's not considered to be shikha at all. And because of that, it won't be usher to take. Now, the problem is, and the Gra actually brings this because it's from the Yerushalmi, and that is Rabbi Shimon holds that there's no shikha unless everyone has been shokheach, not only the owner and the worker. And therefore, if there's even someone who's looking in and he calls attention to it and nobody pays attention, then the halacha is, according to the Rambam, quite amazingly, that that's true, and it's not considered to be shikha at all. So here, the question only is, Lagabi, this additional piece, if it was covered by something else, is this mi'ikar hadin, meaning that it's not called shikha, because shikha means something that was forgotten because of forgetting. But over here, it wasn't forgotten because of forgetting. It was forgotten because it was hidden. Or is it actually, it makes no difference why it was forgotten. And the only reason that it's not called shikha is because of a knas min rabbana, that if the aniyim attempted to steal it, so to speak, by making it shikha, so because of that, they made a takana to avoid this type of behavior. And that nafkamina would be, suppose the wind covered it. So it was covered. So you could say, if the halacha is a function of actual forgetting, then the wind's covering it is not forgetting. The wind's covering it was that it was hidden. And therefore, if that's what it means, it wouldn't be shikha. But if you understand it the way the Rosh understands it, that the idea over here is that it's a knas. If it's a knas, it would not apply unless somebody went out to do it on purpose. And it was done as a knas to make sure that the aniyim wouldn't take advantage of the owner of the field. So that is a tremendously important nafkamina, and a nafkamina actually a machlokes rishonim. I see that our very own Moshe Reuven has a memorable question. Speak up, Moshe Reuven.
It's a question about shikha, so it's memorable. So if the Aneen were not attempting to hide it, but they were just watching and they saw the shikra happen, would that be considered not shikra because they witnessed it?
That's a great question. The Rambam should be sued. L'chora, the re'ia of the Aneen is not, hey, you forgot to take that. That's me. That's mine. So it could be that that's tichlal, not called in any event shikra, because it's not a something that would be, how come he's not taking that? It's good. That's what I would suspect. Yeah.
Is there any limit to when somebody can sell, when the Ani can sell the field? Because if he's already taken, if he takes shikha and then he sells it.
He can't take shikha while he owns it.
Oh, right. Okay. Right.
Okay, Rabosai, very.
No, I'm saying if he leaves, if he knows he's selling it, it's going to be like the worker whose kids are eating off the shikha.
That doesn't matter. L'maisa, he's allowed to take it as long as he doesn't own it. That we learn out from the din of Maiser from Hefka. That's exactly the point that the Rishonim make.